Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Say hello to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, hello, Bob. I hope you're having a great day because, man, the weather out there is weird. I mean, Friday was cold and rainy, and now it's actually kind of nice, I would say.
Dana and I took a trip out to Indio, California, a place that I had never heard of before I got a speeding ticket there back when I was in my 20s. And we have a timeshare out there. Just beautiful location. But driving out, there were two different routes. We were looking for the easier route, and we went over eight starting, and right after we got past Julienne, it started snowing. It was literally snowing on us, and we saw all kinds of snow up in the mountains. And then about an hour later, the sky was blue and the ground was dry. It was very unusual weather.
I mean, there is definitely three different regions of San Diego. There's the coast, the inland area, and then the mountains. That's definitely for sure.
It's like living in three different states.
Right. So one more thing about your earlier monologue tonight. There's also one more Hollywood thing that I really hate this kind of storyline, is it's just a dream. The person's sleeping and then they wake up.
Oh, thank you. I can't stand that. It's the worst device. Mm-hmm. And television programs, episodes of TV series do it all the time.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Can't stand it. You can be guaranteed in any of my novels, folks, the person is not dreaming. I'll guarantee you that right away.
Right. Either A, you just wasted a whole season of the show for me just by doing
Dallas.
That.
Oh, Dallas. Remember in Dallas when Bobby Ewing came back to life? Yeah.
I understand why they did it because, again, audiences loved him so much in the show. But
what a way to insult the fans. And in that story the previous year, I wasn't even watching Dallas anymore by that time. I did think it was an interesting show when it first came on with the Who Shot JR.
Yeah.
But by that time, there were other characters and side stories. They even had a sequel series called Knots Landing, and there was carryover, so they never even mentioned that technically that would have wiped out some of the stuff going on Knots Landing. It was just ridiculous.
Was Knots Landing okay, or no, you never got around to
watching it? I watched some of it. It was taking place in the same fictitious universe, and they had some crossover characters, and there were conflicts that would begin on one and go to the other. So, you know, on Knots Landing, for example, they got word that their brother Bobby in Dallas had died. It was just awful what they did. Man. Just awful.
Oh, well.
When someone dies, you need to just keep them dead.
I agree. There's so many shows that'll do that for sure. Again, going back to movies, if you do that, you just wasted 90 minutes of my life, and I'm never going to take that back ever.
Yeah, so thanks a lot, or in the case of Dallas, a whole year of their life.
Exactly. So today, I thought we'd do something. I don't think it's been done on your show before. We're going to do a whole music album review. Have you ever reviewed an entire album?
No, you'd think that Jim Barrier might have done that by now, but he hasn't.
We definitely analyze songs specifically.
Songs, like and yes, Christmas songs we talked about, favorite and least favorite Christmas songs.
So we haven't done a full album. So today I wanted to talk about this guy named Oliver Anthony. You can find him under Oliver Anthony Music. He put out a new album this last Easter called Hymnal of a Troubled Man's Mind. And man, oh man, just the amount of music that's come out this week. Like this past Friday, I'm still trying to get around to listening to the new Beyonce record at some point. I'll get to the Vampire Weekend. Who else? There's tons of artists out there Black Keys. That's another shout out I want to mention. I will get to these albums at some point, but man, it just seemed like every one of my favorite artists were like, you know, we should screw with Brendan. Let's go ahead and just drop every new music of ours on this one particular day. I'm like, I don't have time in my life. I have a 7-month-old son I have to take care of, but oh well. So I did get around to listening to this particular album. Oliver Anthony is an interesting fellow. He comes out of Farmington, Virginia. He is a country artist, and he got into prominence out of nowhere. He is a completely independent artist. He's not signed or anything, but all of a sudden, specifically conservative media started propping this up, the song last year called Richmond, North of Richmond, and it was blowing up on the iTunes charts, and all of a sudden it popped on the Billboard charts all of a sudden, and so I had to explore this song eventually when it was during its popularity. So if you don't understand Richmond, North of Richmond, there's a city right above Richmond. You probably have heard of it. It's called Washington, D.C.
I've heard of that cesspool.
Yeah, and it has another cesspool of people there specifically. I think they're called politicians.
Yeah, Congress for short.
Sorry, yes. So basically that song is complaining about the situations that are going on with Congress. Specifically, he's been working really, really hard, and they taxes that he gets taxed off of all of his hard work is so much that he's not able to afford anything for himself. But he complains also about how people that are on welfare.
So now, is this the guy that made the album complaining, or is he doing a fictitious character within his song complaining?
This is him himself.
Complaining.
Yeah, okay. Complaining. In the same song, he's also complaining about how people that are on welfare, most of them are obese. I'm reading conflicting stories on that, whether that's true or not. I'm not sure. I just know that the money that they offer for welfare, they don't offer the most healthy products, for sure, when it comes to allowing people what they can buy on food stamps specifically.
A year's supply of Hostess cupcakes.
Yum. So during that time, Oliver Anthony got a lot of publicity as an independent artist, all booking himself, being his own agent. He got really, really flustered with it, and he started pushing back on conservative media, saying, I'm not a conservative, nor am I liberal. I'm an independent person, a free-thinking man who wants to not be a part of this discussion, whether I agree with this side all the way or this side all the way. Respectable, but now you're pushing back your audience that's really supporting you, which is mostly conservative people. That's who was really popularizing him. But nevertheless, he still has a following. He still tours, specifically mostly on the East Coast, because he wants to stay in that Virginia area. But he still tours, and so here he is now with a debut album. I'm surprised he did not put that popular song on there, but maybe there was going to be even more publicity if he decided to release that, and he didn't want to do that. He did release some older songs that he decided to release onto this album, but he has also made some newer songs. So anyway, the main point of the album, Hymnal of a Troubled Man's Mind, has to deal with, and I wrote down the actual phonetic of the book now this time. So he focuses on Ecclesiastes. I don't know about you as a Christian apologist. I feel Ecclesiastes is probably the second most talked about book when it comes to skeptics about Christianity. Number one, I think, would probably be Deuteronomy, probably. Do you agree with that or probably not?
Well,
really?
Ecclesiastes and Job both are in a class by themselves, because if you read the book of Proverbs, the theology was always in black and white. Mm-hmm. If you were a righteous man walking with God, you were going to prosper. If you were a wicked man, you were going to come to ruin. If you were a wise man, you were going to prosper. If you were a fool, you were going to come to ruin. But then Job and Ecclesiastes, which is attributed to King Solomon, one of the poetic books, says, yeah, but what about the grayer times in life when the fool prospers and the wicked man prospers? And what I like about it is, for people that say that the Bible's just really simple-minded and doesn't know any of the nuances of life, I like to show them those two books. So that's one of the reasons that Job and Ecclesiastes will get a lot of discussion. I think what you meant with Deuteronomy is there's this theory that there are these four different sources that wrote the law of Moses, and it wasn't really Moses. And one of those sources was the Deuteronomy source. And then there was the priestly source.
That's
never been proven in archaeology. If we found these four different versions, J-E-D-P, if we found those versions, that would be interesting. But the only forms we've ever found of the ancient manuscripts of the form that we have now.
Understood. So the reason why I brought that up is because, for the most part, whenever I watch Christian apologists on YouTube Shorts, which is just 1 minute clips of YouTube, they mostly bring up Deuteronomy for the most part, and they'll question that exact motion.
They're questioning it, or they're defending it? Christian apologists are the ones defending it, and the Christian skeptics would attack
it. The skeptics were attacking, and then the apologists
were defending it.
So that's why I
brought that up. Now, the main attack of Ecclesiastes is, some people like to say, well, we know Solomon didn't write it. Well, we don't know that. But if he didn't write it, it wouldn't matter. It's still a great piece of literature. It has a lot to say.
Well, what I will say is, out of all the books in there, that is a really hard read to get through, because it is a very depressing kind of reading all the way up until the end.
The end, where he says, praise God. But it's something that so many people relate to. So I think what God had in mind by including it was to establish empathy for the person that's going through life and thinks he's doing all the right things, and things just still aren't going his way. Now, obviously, we have to confess our sin. We're not always doing things the right way. Right. But even a person walking with God will go through trials. There are a lot of Christians today that don't want to believe that. There's a whole movement within Christianity. It's a lot of nonsense and scripture taken out of context, called the prosperity movement. It says God wants you healthy and wealthy and wise. Well, we'd all like to be those things, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
And if it doesn't work out that way, my fellow Christians, you shouldn't make things worse on yourself by trying to figure out what you did wrong. A book like Ecclesiastes and Job can be very comforting at that point.
Right.
Job was considered a righteous man, and yet look how much he still suffered.
Yeah, there's going to be obstacles in everybody's
life. In everybody's life, and don't make them worse by trying to psychoanalyze them.
Right, right. So getting back into this particular album, so each verse that he reads from the Bible, he's able to somehow construe it into one of his songs that he's either made or, again, brand new. And it is sort of interesting, but like I said, it is a very depressing album and very trodulous to have to get through the whole whole thing sometimes. The sequencing of the album's very strange. If you were going to go for the Ecclesiastes aesthetic, you would go through all the depressing stage and then have the happy songs at the end. He's decided to sandwich the thing in between, and he goes out of order in Ecclesiastes, to be fair.
So he's considering the whole album reminiscent of Ecclesiastes, or just one particular song? That's what I'm not catching.
He will read a specific Bible verse.
Oh, and then do a whole new song.
Correct.
Now, I know this guy doesn't want to be called a conservative or a liberal. Does he identify himself as a Christian and a Bible believer?
Yes, absolutely he does. Okay. Yes, and I will read a quote from him specifically about
that. Now, I should tell my audience, I've never heard of this guy or heard this album, so I'm just responding to Brendan.
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, he goes out of order. So, for example, he'll do Ecclesiastes chapter 5 at the beginning. In the middle will be Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So he's going to go out of order a little bit, but he said that's the way he wanted it sequenced specifically for some reason. He said, Hymnal of a Troubled Man's Mind is the story of my life and the way I view my religion. From 2013 to 2023, this is all of my life. It is intended for the listener to sit down in a quiet place, undistracted, and just listen from beginning to end. Every lyric, every note, everything is intentionally placed. So it does make me kind of like, well, I think you should have, if you wanted to specifically go along with the book of Ecclesiastes, I would just do it in order, honestly. And whatever songs go with that order, just go ahead and put it in there that way. So anyways, it's only 38 minutes, but it is going to feel like a little bit longer.
That's pretty long for an album, though, 38 minutes.
Well, it's about the average size of an album, to be fair, I would say. I mean, again, going back to Beyonce, I'm dreading that album because it's 27 songs on there, so I'm going to have to stick there for a while.
But I guess albums were shorter when they were vinyl because you only had so much
so
space.
True.
Now you could just make an MP3.
You know what? I'm just going to listen
as long as you want.
Yeah, I'm just going to listen to 50s music, 2 minute songs every single time. That's it.
Anyway. Or the old 45 where you had two songs with the flip side.
Yeah. So if you want, I can go song by song and tell you about my feelings.
Any way you want to go through it.
Okay, so his first song, Rich Man's Gold, is specifically talking about, we are not using our resources correctly on Earth, and we are not making enough money in our society. So fair enough. I get that. That's fine. The next song is Doggone It. In my opinion, this is the one that isn't
the, the one where I wanted to swear, but I watered it down.
Yeah, exactly. Well, specifically, I was just going to say that this is the worst song to me on the album. A, he's a very, very harsh singer. Like, he will yelp, and you can tell his vocals aren't reaching those notes.
Does he have kind of a raspy voice?
Yes, exactly. So because of that, it works in Richmond's North of Richmond because specifically there's a lot of emotion in it, and I can kind of be able to defend it in that way. Oh, he's just putting a lot of emotion in his voice, and he's really emotional about it. Here, I'm just kind of like, I'm sorry, I just can't hear it that much because it just feels very forceful on it. And on top of that, this song specifically focuses on the dangers of self-driving and electric vehicles. I have a feeling we're going to get rid of that law entirely. So because of that, I feel like we're going to...
So you think he's dated his album?
He's
going to
date his album, exactly. At that point, he's just going to say...
Oh, that's like in science fiction where they put a year on their futuristic thing,
yes.
Like 2001.
I love the video games that in the future, they'll just say 3000XXX. That way you don't have to determine it. You can just say whatever.
Yeah, Back to the Future was taking us to the year 2015.
Yeah.
We've long since passed that year.
By the way, those hoverboards are still a lie. I'm still waiting on the actual hoverboard part, but whatever.
They have a device called a hoverboard. It ain't like the hoverboard in the movie.
Not even close. And again, I know there's some like recent stories of the self-driving causing accidents and Tesla's dealing with lawsuits with those situations, but technology will get better with self-driving, I believe, at some point. At some point, we're going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger with a robot car or with a robot taxi driver.
My problem with technology, I don't mind improvements of technology, but human beings don't seem to be gaining any wisdom along with the technology, and that's what's frightening.
That's understandable, yeah. Then after that, he goes into a song called I've Got to Get Sober. I personally think that's a fine song, dealing with alcoholism through his childhood and wanting to get through that, but he's got a lot of demons with him. Then the only way that he feels that he can cover those demons is alcohol, and he's asking for God for forgiveness for continuously betraying that situation. Again, we know that getting drunk specifically is a sin. Not the actual alcohol part, but getting purposely
Jesus
drunk.
Himself drank wine.
Exactly, yeah. So for that reason, I completely understand, and that's a lot of emotions. I can defend that song, that's fine. Then it goes to a song called Cobwebs and Cocaine. Again, he was growing up in a situation where drugs were a huge portion of his childhood, unfortunately, but he was able to grow out of it.
Is cobwebs symbolic for being trapped by the addiction?
That's correct.
He meant?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Now, he wasn't personally, his parents were.
It's what everybody was observing.
Exactly, yeah. I actually like this song specifically because, again, that emotional voice, it gets covered up by a lot of rock, so there's a lot of electric guitars in there covering it up, and it actually matches the emotion, the actual visceral emotion that he puts into the song, so I'm okay with that one. That's completely fine. Hell on Earth, we are going to complain about not using our resources on Earth and not making enough money. Oh, I can't think, I don't think I heard that song before in this song, but so I just say no to that song. One of my friends seems to like I Want to Go Home. That one, again, it mostly dealt with the fact that I don't like his voice in that song again. It's a very, that noise.
It's like Bob Dylan. He was a brilliant lyricist and composer. He did not have a great singing voice.
Yeah, but at least Bob Dylan's a little bit more monotone. This guy's screaming in your ears, and I'm kind of tired of it at that point. Now we get to a song that I actually do like a lot, and I think a lot of people should listen to. It's called Feeling Purdy Good, and that's how you spell it. It's
Purdy Good.
Yeah. Good. And that's a good song. It's a nice, it just describes how he is married now, and he's a happy man. I love it. It's something new on the song. And again, it goes along with the Ecclesiastes late chapters that he's at, where he's talking about the positivity that can come from praising God and the outcomes that can come about. In this case, he was praying to God to help him find someone that he could call his true love, and up popped in his church his wife. And it's so nice. It's a good song. I like that one. Then it goes to Always Love You Like a Good Old Dog. I won't defend this song totally. It is a cheesy song. He, again, talk about how much he loves his wife. But again, loving someone like their old dog is kind of weird. After that, he's like, I love you like I love mud football.
I'm like, oh, you're wondering how flattered his wife could be to those comparisons.
It's cheesy
lyrics. Honey, you're not seeing the grand picture here.
Okay, I like the cheesy lyrics. I think it's very sentimental. I won't be able to defend it, but I personally like that song. I'll probably go back to it again. Then we have VCR Kid. I'm very confused on the messaging of this song. So this one specifically talks about how media is lying all the time these days. Obviously, we know that. But he's talking about he doesn't want to affect the innocence of his own childhood, where he was watching VCRs all the time, henceforth why he's known as the VCR Kid in the song. I'm very, very confused on what he's trying to say. So does he just want to see the same stuff over and over and then not be shunned by what media is showing
out
there?
Were these considered happy memories for
Correct.
Him or an
yes.
escape from what he was witnessing at
oh.
home, the things that he could watch on the VCR?
That could possibly
yeah, so
be
it. It may not be the VCR technology, but just whatever your access to entertainment would have been in those days.
And since he's older, his access to, quote, entertainment would be the news, but unfortunately it's lying to him.
And he's longing for the days when he didn't have to get into the news and he could just enjoy his favorite program or movie.
I have to listen to that song again with that set in mind, because honestly, that one's the longest song on the whole album, nearly 5 minutes. And it is, again, a tragedy because I was trying to understand that concept of that song. So now that you explained it that way, I'm going to go back and listen to it with that mindset.
Look at me explaining this album that I've never
even
listened to before.
Yeah. Lastly, Mama's Been Hurtin'. Again, one of my friends likes that one. Only reason why I don't like that song is because of his singing again. Once again, this song has to deal with specifically his mom at her later stage. She wasn't feeling healthy at all, and he's praying to God that she would recover. Unfortunately, she did not, unfortunately.
I could see how that could go back into the book of Ecclesiastes, mm-hmm. too.
But again, like I said, he goes from chapter 5, then chapter 4, then chapter 1, and then back to chapter 9, so it's very sporadic where he goes back. I would have resequenced it again, my personal belief. I know it's a long trudge to get through all those depressing songs and then get to the positive stuff, but I say leave it on a higher note than back to the depressing note again that you wanted to leave it back
I would
on.
Think so, particularly if, like you say, the book itself ends on that high note.
Yeah. So overall, I'm going to give this album a 6 out of 10, a modest recommendation. I know that if you are an Oliver Anthony fan, you're going to like this. If you did not like Richmond, North of Richmond, you're not going to be turning
well,
into a
one thing I like about your reviews is you are fair. If you didn't like it, you'll still point out maybe one or two things good. If you did like it, you'll still come up with some problems with
yeah.
it.
And again, I'll go back to that
one. That makes it a more objective review.
Yeah, and I'll go back to that one song with that set in mind and see if that changes my mind about calling it a bad track or not. But for now, modest track, and I'll give it a pass.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.